As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The more we practice this, the more we'll get to know about His great power and love, which will help us to see that it makes sense to stop worrying and to start trusting God more. Not only is worry and stress bad for your physical health, but it's bad for your spiritual health as well. I've heard it said that worry is like a rocking chair. It's always in motion, but it never gets anywhere.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast. This Sunday, Brother Jeff Hollinger brought the sermon instead of Brother Mark Abney. Brother Jeff preached from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, in his sermon titled, I've Got This. Brother Jeff reminded us that when we have times of stress and trouble, we should always turn to God for help. And now, Brother Jeff.
Thank you, Phyllis and Victoria, for leading us in worship this morning. This morning, I hope that the word touches you the way it has me this week. As this sermon I needed to hear. If you would this morning, if you would stand in honor of the reading of God's word, I'll be reading out of Matthew 11, verses 28 and 30. It says, come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and I will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will be leashed this morning in this place, Lord, that as Christians, we will allow your Spirit to work in our lives, Lord, that you will allow us to trust you more, that we will give up ourselves just to trust you more. Lord, we have two ears to listen, Lord. And most of the time, you don't come through as a shouting trumpet, but you come through as a whisper. And sometimes we really need to be paying attention to see what that whisper is. Lord, I pray that our walk is close enough that we recognize when it's you. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for the sacrifice he made. We thank you for his resurrection. And it's his name I pray. Amen. This week's theme for my life comes from pretty much the verses from a Mercy Me song. It says, I find myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain? Washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stand in your holiness. Word of God, speak. When I left church last Sunday morning, even though that I had spent several hours working on a sermon that I was going to deliver this morning, I was still unsure what I was going to preach. So I sat down Sunday evening at my computer, and after searching all the files, the sermon was gone. So I found a couple of pieces of scrap paper that I'd been scribbling my ideas on and my thoughts, and I was just going to rewrite it. But I just didn't feel inspired. So I thought, well, maybe this is God's way of confirming this isn't the message that he wanted me to deliver today. So I'm sitting there thinking, so what do I do? In my thoughts, I was reminded before Brother Mark left that he said sometimes the next message is inspired by the previous one. So, I just delivered a message on fire, so maybe the next one should be on water, right? There's lots of good scripture on water. Matthew 3, 10, 11 says, the axe is already at the roots of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, and he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Or Jesus, maybe, was talking to the Samaritan woman at a well in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Nope, that wasn't the sermon either. So I was sitting there and I had absolutely no idea what the subject matter of today was going to be. So I went to bed feeling a little stressed and worried. And I didn't sleep well at all. Monday morning I awoke, my head hurt, the muscles in my neck and shoulders were tense. I left my house, I forgot my coffee cup. I never forget my morning coffee. Needless to say, I was a little stressed. So on my way to work, I was having my, like many mornings, I was having a little windshield prayer conversation with God. And I said to God, God, if this is your will, then why is it being so hard? Why am I at such a loss of words? And I had no more than got those words out of my mouth, and several thoughts hit me all at once. One was from the verse that we just read in Matthew 11, come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Another part was from the prayer Sunday morning. Give me the words I need to hear. Another part was from the quote from C.H. Spurgeon, preachers, do not try to be original. Be content to take the things of Christ and show them to the people, for that is what the Holy Ghost himself does, and you will be wise to use his same method. Yet another was penned by Horatio Spafford, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. So basically, my prayer was answered with the sermon title, I've got this. So stop worrying and give it to me, because I've got this. Now I've read that there's 365 verses in Scripture that deal with worry, anxiety, and fear. I couldn't find that many, but I did find enough that you could read a different Scripture verse every day for a couple of months and never read the same one. For example, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. and all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Psalms 62:6, truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will not be shaken. Billy Graham once said, the Bible is not an option, it's a necessity. This is especially true in times of despair that can lead to anxiety and fear. If we spend each day reading God's Word, spending time in prayer, and focusing on him, we'll begin to realize who is in control of our circumstances. Pray for the Holy Spirit to come capture every thought that enters your mind and compare it to biblical truths. And if you're shown a worrisome thought that doesn't reflect what is true, you simply replace it with one that's based on what God's Word says is true. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The more we practice this, the more we'll get to know about his great power and love, which will help us to see that it makes sense to stop worrying and to start trusting God more. Not only is worry and stress bad for your physical health, but it's bad for your spiritual health as well. I've heard it said that worry is like a rocking chair. It's always in motion, but it never gets anywhere. So why do we struggle with it? Does it really do any good? Really, what good does worrying do? It can wear us out to the point where we can become physically and mentally ill. And actually, when we're worrying, aren't we tormenting ourselves? Aren't we doing the job of the devil for him? Are we trusting in God, or are we trusting in ourselves? It's really hard to be focused on God when we're worried and stressed out because we're allowing ourselves to dwell on our circumstances that many times we can do nothing about or may not even happen. If you Google the word worry, it's defined as to give away to anxiety or unease, allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles, a state of anxiety and uncertainty over actual or potential problems. You will also find that we live in a society that worries and stresses about everything. For instance, getting old, like, am I attractive? What about my wrinkles? My physique, getting a little fat, maybe even some gray hairs. Diet, debt, job, school, friends, family, illness, weather, you name it. Or if you can think about it, you can bet that somewhere, someone is worrying about it. And we as Christians, if we who know God can get caught and ensnared in this trap. Just imagine how easy it is for people who don't know the joy and freedom from sin of having Jesus as their Savior. We must believe what Jesus said in Matthew, verse 28 of Matthew 11. Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We must just give it to Him and know that everything has a purpose, and through trust in Him, He will be glorified. Jesus doesn't make just empty promises. Jesus demonstrated His love for us in a very physical way. He left glory and came to earth and was born a baby. While He walked amongst us, and still today He provides food and healing for those in need, He took our worries upon Himself on a cross. He rose from the grave to demonstrate the ultimate freedom from worry in the resurrection. Jesus didn't just say words. He showed up with action. And thankfully, Jesus gives us more than a reason not to be worried. He also gives us a way to let go of our worries. So you might ask yourself, what can I do to become less of a worrier? The key is to learn to give your worries to God and trust your life in His hands. If God didn't love us or care about us, we'd have a reason to worry and stress. But He does love us, and He does care what happens to us. Psalms 55:22 says, cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. So what is the way that Jesus gave us to let go of our worries? We replace it with seeking the kingdom of God. We all began or must begin somewhere. And this is by turning to Christ and asking Him into your life. If you've done that, you now have a cornerstone in your life, a place that you can come to that never changes, that's solid and true. And upon that, all other things in your life can be built. Then when worries threaten to overwhelm you, you bring them to God in prayer and you leave them there. And what do? We leave them there. Just one more time. We give them to God in prayer, and what? We leave them there. There's so many times that we wrestle with God for Him back. We give Him the worry, and then we take it back. We just got to trust Him. There's 5 key words related to becoming a Christian: conviction, salvation, grace, forgiveness, redemption. Conviction, become aware of the great need for God. Salvation, saved from my sins by accepting God's mercy and love through His Son Jesus. Grace, God's favor offered to those who don't deserve it. Forgiveness, sending away the guilt and the penalty of sin. Redemption, a release brought upon by payment of a price. There is no salvation apart from a personal faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. As I said last week, the Baptist Faith and Message states, salvation involves the redemption of the whole man and is offered freely to all who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who by his own blood obtained eternal redemption for the believer. In closing, as Phyllis comes, as Victoria comes, perhaps you are here this morning and you have worries and burdens that are dragging you down. Maybe you just need to come up and leave them here and leave them here at the altar. Maybe you need to just remember that verse in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all ye who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Or maybe you've never accepted the gift of salvation, and it's simple. ABC, admit, believe, confess. Admit you're a sinner. Believe in your heart that Jesus is God's Son and He raised Him from the dead, and confess that He is Lord. Matthew 10:32. Whoever therefore shall confess before men, him I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven. So if you're here this morning and you're wrestling with the Holy Spirit on a decision that you need to make, don't leave these doors. Don't take it back outside these doors. Settle it right here. If you would, come as we sing.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.